We know that we're now in the period of Sfiras HaOmer, and there's a machlokes among the Paiskim. Since the Torah says we start counting the Omer from the second day of Pesach, which is the day that we bring the Omer. So most Paiskim say that Sfiras HaOmer, most Rishonim say Sfiras HaOmer b'zman hazeh, when there's no Korban HaOmer, is only midrabanan. It's not a Torah requirement. It is what we call a zecher l'mikdash. And the Rambam is a Das Yochid. The Rambam says that even Bizman Hazeh, it's a Doraisa. So whether it's a Doraisa or a Drabanan, the Sefer HaChinuch tells us very clearly that the purpose of the mitzvah of counting of the Omer is to link the holiday of freedom, which is Pesach, with the idea of Kabbalah Satorah, which is Shavuos, that Pesach and Shavuos are not two different holidays, one celebrating freedom and one celebrating Torah, but rather they are bi'etzem one Yom Tov. That's why Shavuos in the Lashon of Chazal is called Atzeres, a conclusion, because without Torah, without a submission to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, freedom is not a bracha, freedom is a curse. Not only is the freedom worthless, but it's destructive, it's evil. Chazal say, the korban of Pesach is barley, the Omer, which is Michael Behema, animal fodder. The korban of Shavuos is wheat, which is human food. Literally, a Pesach without a Shavuos, one is simply a Behema. And it is Shavuos that gives a tachlis, a tayelis, a purpose to this idea of what freedom is. Zman Cheruseinu. The Ishbitzer adds a nice Chassidish Kenech. He says, this might be the aside of the minog of why at the Seder, at least Ashkenazim, have a hard-boiled egg. There are different reasons. Most people say the egg is the food of a mourner because it's round, it's oval, and we're mourning the fact that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash to bring a Korban Pesach. And it's also true that the first night of Pesach is the same night as Tisha B'Av, so we're misabel over the Korban. But the Ishbitzer says a different kenech. The Ishbitzer says that a bird or a chicken is unlike a mammal. A mammal is born at one time, a live birth, like a human being. A bird is born in two stages. The egg is laid, and after the egg is laid, eventually it is hatched and the bird comes out of the egg. So this is a remez that although Klal Yisrael was born Pesach night, Yetzias Mitzrayim, but it's not our complete birth. The egg was laid, but the second stage of our birth does not occur until Matan Torah. And it's a reminder, you know, yesterday many Israelis celebrated Yom HaTzimut, Independence Day, Freedom Day. The Yom HaTzimut of Klal Yisrael is, of course, Pesach itself. But the egg is a strong reminder that Atzmaut or Cheirut or whatever Lashon you want to use is only one stage. And the next stage, the final birth, is Matan Torah. So we know that if one thinks about the Aveda of Sfiras HaOmer, as we prepare ourselves for Matan Torah, one increases their Aveda Hashem, one increases their Hislavos, their enthusiasm for Torah, for Tefillah, for Maisim Tovim. This is the time in which we try to work on ourselves, to be Ra'oi, to be Zeicha, to Kabbalah Satorah. We left Mitzrayim on the 49th level of Tuma, and every single day of Sfira, we went up higher and higher and higher, till we were Zeicha to be Makabel the Torah. And yet we also know, the Sefer HaChinuch goes on and says, that in reality these ought to be happy days. We are looking forward. There is nothing intrinsic in this counting of the Omer that should be a Zman of Tzara. Lehepach, the whole purpose of the world, not only of Klal Yisrael, but the world itself, the universe, was that we be Makabel the Torah. It's a Zman of great, great joy. But we know that in the course of time, there's many avela, many minhagim of avelas, of mourning that are associated with the counting of the Omer. We don't make chasanas. We don't listen to music. We don't cut our hair. We're noyeg minhagei avelas. And this is not from the din of the Gemara. There's nothing in the Gemara that says one should observe minhagim of avelas. But this does date, at least from the time of the Gaonim, right after the Gemara, in which they record that it is our minhag not to get married, not to make chasanas, and not to cut hair, during the counting of the Omer. And the reason that the Goyim give is a reason that the Gemara states, although the Gemara does not state that we mourn because of it. And it says that during this period of time, the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva died. That was a tremendous tragedy. And once again, you have to know the backstory a little bit. Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara tells us in Ksuvas and in Dorim, was an Am Haaretz. He was an ignorant person. He was a person who had not learned Torah. And he was a shepherd to Kalba Savua, one of the wealthiest landowners in Yerushalayim. And Kalba Savua's daughter saw something in Rabbi Akiva that even Rabbi Akiva himself didn't know that he had. She saw his milus, she saw his greatness, she saw his potential. And she loved him and they got married. And Kalba Savua was shocked that his daughter from such a chash of a family should marry an Am Haaretz. And he disinherited her, so this wealthy woman lived in poverty with her husband. And she sent her husband to learn Torah at Yerushalayim, and Rabbi Akiva, who was already 40 years old, started off as an Am Haaretz learning with little children, Aleph Beis. And he was there for 12 years, and after 12 years he finally came home to pay a visit, and he overhears his wife. Somebody said to his wife, "What type of husband you have? He just leaves you for 12 years. And she said, "For learning Torah, he'd go for another 12 years. And according to the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva didn't even say hello. He went back for another 12 years. Again, all the Mefarshim say, why couldn't he say hello? Why couldn't he have a cup of coffee? And there are two terutzim that different Sforim give. I'm sure there are more terutzim as well, but there are two terutzim I'm aware of. One is B'Shem Rav Aaron Cutler, who talks about the notion of continuity. He makes the point that 2 times 12 is not the same as 1 times 24. That is, if he would have had a hefzik, if he would have had a break, that would have stopped his momentum, it would have stopped his growth, and then he would have to start kind of from the bottom again. He wanted to keep as much continuity as he could keep. Because the Chazon Ish used to give a mashal, if it takes, for example, 25 minutes to bring a pot of water to a boil, or 15 minutes, whatever it is, every 14 and a half minutes, you shut off the flame and let the water cool down and then turn it up again, you could do 14 and a half minutes 1,000 times. And you never have the critical mass that creates the momentum that'll bring the water to a boil. This is something to think about. A person learning 2, 3, 4, less than three Finkel, you talk about 10 hours straight, achieves a certain mila in their learning that even if you learn the same amount of hours broken up with hafsakas, is simply not the same. Rabbi Akiva wanted that continuity. That is one teretz. Another teretz that I heard from Rav Weinbach Zatzal was that Rabbi Akiva knew, had he simply sat down for 5 minutes with his wife, his rachmanus would have been so great that he wouldn't have been able to go back. And he had to be cruel. He had to make a decision because that's what she wanted as well. Remember, he did come back. He wouldn't have left without his wife's rishus. That's a very important thing to keep in mind as well. But knowing that that's what his wife wanted and knowing that's what he needed, the natural rachmanis at his wife's poverty and her suffering and her loneliness would have been so great that even Rabbi Akiva could not have pulled himself away. So he did what he had to do. And we could very easily speculate that his heart was also broken. But he did what he had to do. So, here we have a woman, a living widow, 24 years living without her husband, living in poverty. But at the end of that time, the Am Haaretz, Akiva ben Yosef, who started off with the first graders, whatever the grade level was, learning how to read, came the greatest gadol b'Yisrael, and he came back with 24,000 students. And she sees this. And now she understands that all of her suffering, all of the deprivation, all the years of loneliness were so worthwhile because look at what was accomplished. Look at what was produced. And when she came in rags to her husband and the Talmidim thought she was a crazed woman and they wanted to push her away, Rabbi Akiva uttered the immortal words of Shali v'shalachem shalahi, all that I have accomplished, all that you have accomplished, is only because of her. And the Gemara then has an interesting story, and again, it's kedai to think about this, that Kalba Savua did not know that Rabbi Akiva was his son-in-law. He remembered an Am Haaretz who was not only ignorant, but he abandoned his wife as well. But Kalba Savua, after all these years, finally regrets that he disinherited his daughter, but he made a vow, he made a neder. A neder can only be mutter by going to a chacham who can find a basis for invalidating the neder. So he goes to this great rabbi, not knowing who he is, and says, "Rabbi, I made a vow that I could not give my wife, my daughter, any of my property. Is there a basis to release me from this neder?" And Rabbi Akiva said, "If you would have known that your son-in-law would become a Talmud Chacham, would you have made the neder?" He says, "A Talmud Chacham? If I would have known, he would have known how to read, I wouldn't have made the neder." So Rabbi Akiva said, "You are released. The neder is mutter." Taisvis asks an interesting kasha and gives a wonderful teretz, an inspiring teretz, in the middle of a little Taisvis. Taisvis asks the kasha that when you mutter a neder, you have to generally identify some type of mistake at the time you made the neder. So for example, the classic example would be, if Kalba Savua would have made a neder thinking Rabbi Akiva was ignorant, and he already was a Talmud Chacham, that's called a Pesach, and the neder was made in mistake, and it's annulled. But the Mishnah says, you can't matir a neder based on a future event that happens later. Because at the time of the neder, he was an Amoritz. At the time of the neder, there was no mistake. Elamai, he became a Talmud Chacham later. That's a nolad, Tosfos says. The Mishnah says in the Dorim, Ein Paischin b'Nailad. You can't use a Nailad as a Pesach. So Tosfos gives the following answer. The rule that you can't use a future event as a basis for annulling the vow is only if it's a future event that is doubtful, uncertain. It's not something that definitely will happen. But Tosfos says, when a person begins to learn and applies himself conscientiously, his hatzlacha is guaranteed. Even if it didn't happen yet, it is such a certainty that it will happen, that it is as if it is a present reality as opposed to a future uncertainty. And that's the Pesach. That itself, although this was not what I was going to talk about, I'm only being maskil, but this itself is a tremendous, tremendous chizuk for all of us. Many of us have started a little late, but not as late as Rabbi Akiva, not nearly as late as Rabbi Akiva. I'm not here to promise that anyone can become Rabbi Akiva. That's unfortunately not so likely. But you see, number one, what Rabbi Akiva was able to accomplish. And Chazal tell us this story, Biarichas, because Chazal are giving us a message for every single generation. And every person who thinks he's too old to become a Talmud Chacham, he's not capable of learning well, he's not capable of growing. Chazal is saying, whatever the age, whatever the circumstance, and Taisus is adding, and not only is it simply like a 50-50 gamble, but the Hatzlacha on some level is so batuach that even in the halacha of Nolad that says you can't use a future event as a basis for Ataris Nadarim, this you can do. This is as emes and certain as, you know, money in the bank, something that's here right now. This is what Taisus teaches us. But to go back to the idea of the Talmidim dying. So one could imagine, or maybe one cannot imagine, the simcha in Rachel's heart. Rachel was Rabbi Akiva's wife. Seeing that all the years of suffering, as Shir HaMaala says, Hazayrim bedima barina yitzayru, those who plant with tears and sobs, harvest with joy. And yet, those 24,000 students died. Again, the tragedy of their death, but also coupled with the idea that all of one's sacrifices simply go to naught. They become destroyed. And the Gemara in Yavama says that there's a reason why they died. They died because they did not show proper kavod zeh lazeh. They did not show proper honor and respect for each other. And although this is not an aveira, which the Torah says you're chayav misa, otherwise we unfortunately would be in a lot of trouble. But lefi their madrega, and because they were the gedolim, they were the manhigim, they were the transmitters of Torah. If they did not live in a matzav where they showed kavod zeh lazeh, they could not be the transmitters of Torah to the next generation. Now people sometimes ask Akasha, all right, 24,000 students, that's a great chorban, that's a sadness, that's a tragedy. But unfortunately in Jewish history we've had worse. We've had the Holocaust, we have 6 million Jews. Why am I making such a big deal about the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva? I mean, even in the time of the Chorban, Chazal give us numbers of people who died that were greater than all of these numbers. Again, lefi pshuto, one has to understand that it's not simply a matter of numbers. The basic Messiah of Torah Shebaal Peh comes to Klal Yisrael through Rabbi Akiva and his Talmidim. Rabbi Akiva was essentially the Iker Baal Messiah of Torah Shebaal Peh. 24,000 students died, and it's only because Rabbi Akiva was zeicher to have five more Talmidim, five, that Torah even survived. You have to, it's not just the numbers here. If Rabbi Akiva would not have been zeicher to have surviving Talmidim on some level, then chas v'shalom, we can't even imagine, Torah might have been lost from Am Yisrael Lagamri. A devastating, devastating korban, going beyond the great numbers. This is the whole Messiah of Torah Shebaal Peh, comes through Rabbi Akiva. But the other reason why we're Misabel is this. The Gaonim make the point that it's not simply being Misabel over a tragedy. We've had worse tragedies, that might be the case. But rather, since Chazal told us specifically why this tragedy occurred, Lo Nogu Kavod Zeh Lazeh, the Iker Tachlis of the Avelis is not to mourn. The Iker Tachlis of the Avelis is to be Mesakein within our personalities. The Chisaron of not having Kavod Zeh Lazeh. So the mourning is really a means to an end. It is not, as it were, to simply be Misabel. It's an Avelis for the purpose of Tikkun. What does it mean they did not show Kavod Zeh Lazeh? Certainly, to have a Rebbe to be a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, one had to be great. Great in learning, great in midos, great in all of the memches devarim, shatara niknes b'hem. Are to we assume that the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva pushed each other out of line, they called each other names, they insulted each other, they spoke to her about each other? V'shteitzach not. Rav Shimshon of Al Hirsch says an interesting point. Let us look at the Shirish, the etymology of the word kavod. Kavod comes from the word kavei, to be heavy. And even in English, when somebody is significant, we say he's a heavyweight. Or we sometimes use the Latinized word, they have gravitas. Rav Hirsch points out that kavod, I'm talking about the good kavod, the kavod that you need to show another person, not the negative attribute. Kavod does not refer to politeness or etiquette or even derech eretz. I could treat a person, you know, politely, but in my heart of hearts, I look at them as somebody insignificant. They don't have chashivas. I'll be nice to them because I'm a nice guy or I'm a tzaddik, so to speak. But I'm nice to them mitzad my tzidkus. Not because I see their intrinsic chashivas. Kavod is when you look at another person and you see that they're B'Tselem Elokim, that they're in the image of Hashem. You see their milas, you see their strengths, you see their chashivas. As the Igeres Ramban says, every single person we meet, even if we're better than them in learning or whatever it is, we try to identify some attribute that they have, whether it's humility, whether it's the way they honor their parents, whether it's their zahiris and lashon hara, whether it's the gentleness of their personality. And you try to identify a mila, Rav Hirsch, who does not quote the Igaros Ramban, but Rav Hirsch says, the idea of having kavod for a person refers to seeing their inner worth. Rav Chaim Shulevitz used to say about the mitzvah of kibud avim, a very, very similar idea. Although Chazal described kibud avim as an external thing, you have to treat your parents in an honorable way, but he actually says it also refers to an emotional idea that one is mechuyev to look at their parents and identify some mila and some quality within their parents that is great and that is good. That until, now Baruch Hashem, most of the time it should be fairly easy, but even when it's hard, one tries to identify something special and unique. And Rav Hirsch says, that's the idea of kavod as well. Why the Talmidim didn't have kavod, we don't know. Maybe they were so makusher to their great Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, they didn't bother to see what they could learn from each other. It's still very severe. But Rav Hirsch's point is that Chas V'Shalom, we're not talking about people who were Iver Haveiros Bein Adam L'Chaveira. We're not talking about rudeness, Lashon Hara, Einas Devarim, Malvin Pnei Chaveiro Barabim. For sure they didn't do that stuff. But they didn't see each other with kavod. Mimela, our tikkun during this period of Svira is to have this idea of looking at each other with kavod. Seen in this way, therefore, it seems we have two different avodos in Svira. One is the Sefer Achinuch's idea that since we have to be makasher, the holiday of freedom, with the holiday of Torah, we have to be stronger, more passionate, more fervent, more bihislavos in our davening, in our tefillah, in our mitzvahs, in our conscientiousness about mitzvahs. Baruch Hashem, the Zman just began, but again, it began at a time when bedavka, we have to be mechazik ourselves. But the other avaida is to look at our fellow Jew with compassion, with respect, to see their good, to see their milas, to see the aspect within them that's B'Tselem Elokim. In the world that we live in, unfortunately, these two avodos sometimes exist in a certain contradiction and tension. Baruch Hashem, there are many, many, many exceptions. But sometimes it's a shtickel tarti desasre, they contradict each other. Sometimes we find, as we get starker in our learning, in our davening, in our avaida, we look at others who are not necessarily in the same place yet, and certainly maybe people outside the yeshiva, maybe our own family, we look at them with a sense of disparagement, a sense of beetle. They don't really matter. They're not important. And then le'idach gisa, those who want to cultivate the attitude of, I love everybody, I'm okay, you're okay, sometimes turn into the opposite problem of moral relativism, situational ethics, meaning everybody's okay, you know, mein nafkamina, you learn, you don't learn, etc. We're all good, we're all beloved, we're all Am Yisrael. That's all that counts. That's also a mistake. So what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling us to do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us to intensify our hislavos, our enthusiasm, our passion, our connection to Torah, our avodas Hashem, our zealousness, I'll use the word kanos, l'shem Hashem. And at the same time, be able to look at our fellow Jew with love, with tolerance, with forgiveness, and even with respect to acknowledge their milas. It's a hard thing in our polarized personalities to combine these two milas. When you look at our Gedolei Hador, B'derech Klal, you will see this music. Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Rav Moshe, our Gedolim today as well, had this unusual ability. I call it unusual because it is unusual, in which, despite being totally shakua in the deepest, deepest learning of Torah and Pesach Halacha and Yiras Shamayim, they saw and they appreciated and they were machshiv. The janitors, the secretaries, the bus drivers, the nurses, the chayolim, the policemen, the people who, whether this is their intention or not, but lamaisa, the people who create the infrastructure that allows the flourishing of a Torah community in Eretz Yisrael. We live in a time, of course, where the Torah community is beleaguered and under attack in many, many ways. And this is unfortunate, and we need to take whatever steps we can take, primarily through tefillah, because really it's the Ribbono Shel Olam that's going to help us. But we need to do what we need to do. No question. Avas Yisrael never means one gives up one's fundamental beliefs in Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But at the same time, there are different gishos, there are different approaches to how one does this. Although I really don't want to venture onto very thin ice, or maybe I'm already in, maybe I broke the ice already. But one has to know, Shlomo HaMelech, the Chacham Mikol Adam, gives us a very important yesod in how we connect to people. And he says, Kamayim Hapanim El Panim, Kain Leif HaAdam Li Adam, as water reflects, Pasuk in Mishlei, as water reflects the face that you show it, so too does the heart of one person reflect that which you show that person. The Gra explains, this is really the Pashat in the Pasuk. When I smile at the water, I get a smiling face back. It's my face. And when I frown at the water, I get a frowning face back. Again, it's my face. The heart of a person will reflect back. If I see the kavod in another human being, another Jew, Bifrat, that other Jew will then be machshiv what I stand for as well. And if I look at a person with bizyonis, disparagement, he doesn't count, he's a goy, he's whatever, then you're going to get back the same thing. You're going to get back the same thing. And Rabbi Yashiv Zatzal said, towards the end of his life, that the central avaida of a ben Torah in this door, and again, this is not a quote that is said very often, but Rabbi Yashiv did say it, is to make the name of Hashem beloved in the world by our behavior. The Gemara in Yuma tells us, V'yahavta es Hashem aleikecha, so even though we translate it, you shall love Hashem, but the Gemara in Yuma has a drasha, you shall make the name of Hashem beloved, that people look at a Ben Torah, people look at a religious Jew, and they say, if this is what a religious Jew is, it's a beautiful thing. Maybe they'll become from, maybe they won't. But l'chol apachas, they will look at the life of Torah and they will say, it's good, it's beautiful, it's right. Maybe I can go there, maybe I'm not ready to go there, that's another thing. But you will be making a Kiddush Hashem. Rabbi Yashiv says, this is our Avaida. And this comes, Kamayim Apanim El Panim, by looking at people with Ayin Tova, generous eye, looking at people with Hakaras HaTov, not creating an aloofness, a separation, a superiority, not demonizing and delegitimating, because although indeed in the area of Hashkafa, there are certainly going to be machlokas and one needs to articulate the Hashkafas of the Torah. But one doesn't have to do so with the vocabulary of Rishoyim, the vocabulary of Amalek. One can talk about people as being mistaken, being misguided. But when there's kavod, you still are makir the tzelem elokim that is within every single yid. So Sfiras Haimer is a complicated avoda, because it's calling upon us to exercise two different aspects of our personality. The part of our personality that is passionate and fervent and committed and unwavering. and that which is soft and open and forgiving. People tend to gravitate to one type or the other. Torah says you got to do both. You got to do both. You got to do both at the same time. In reality, even though this sounds like two different avodas, in reality, it ultimately is one avoda. People know the story, famous story in Masechet Shabbos, about the non-Jew that went to Shammai first, and he said, "Teach me the whole Torah, al regel achas, on one foot." And Shammai kicked him out. Shammai thought the guy is a leitzonis, he's making fun, a scoffer, get rid of him. He went to Hillel, and Hillel says, "You want to know the whole Torah al regel achas? I'll tell you the whole Torah al regel achas. Madasani lach, what is hateful to you, what you don't like to have done to you, lechavracha loiseyave, do not do to your friend, ve'idach, and everything else, zeal, gemor, go and learn." But this is the foundation of the Torah. There's a lot of kashas on this gemara. I just want to mention two kashas on this gemara. Kasha number one is, why does Hillel use the negative? You'll notice the Torah speaks, v'yahavta l'reyecha kamocha. You shall love your friend like you love yourself. Hillel seems to be saying, don't hurt other people. Don't do bad things to people that you wouldn't want them to do to you. I have to say that l'havdil, there are goyim that take the statement of Hillel and say, oh, you see that Jews had an inferior morality because their morality was not hurting people as opposed to actually loving people. But that's obviously not emes, because v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha is in the Torah itself. So why does Hillel use what is called the negative golden rule instead of the positive golden rule, given the fact that loving somebody is better than not hurting them? So there are different terutzim of the Bali Musar give. One terutz is, before you start loving a person, be sure that you're not hurting them at the same time. Meaning, sometimes we use people as our mitzvah, meaning to say, I want to get my olam haba by being nice to you. And I really don't care about who you are, and I don't really care about what you need, but I got to do mitzvahs. I got to do five, like they say you have to eat five fruits a day. Got to do five maisa chesed a day. Okay, you're next on my list. I look at my checklist, and then I check you off, and then, I'm finished with you, and I go on to the next thing. Hillel was saying, no. Would you like to be treated that way? Would you like to be treated like an object for somebody's olam haba? You wouldn't like it. So before you start helping somebody, before you start loving somebody, be sure you're not hurting him and being mavaza him by the help. That is one teretz. Another teretz, Rabbi Saul Salanter says, and it's an interesting teretz, he actually says, maybe the premise of the question is incorrect. The premise of the question was, l'chaira, showering somebody with love is a higher madrega than not hurting somebody. Right? That was the question. Rabbi Saul Salanter says, maybe that's not so. Because when I can do good things for you, I get a certain ego, right? People see me, you see me, I get a certain pride in what a generous person I am. But let's say I got hurt and I don't respond. Let's say, I have reasons to be angry, but I control myself. Nobody even gives me credit for that. Nobody even sees. Nobody even knows, except the Rebbe Shlomo. Rebbe Saul Salanter says, even the person that you're not lashing out at may not know that you have a reason to lash out at him. And yet, you're doing something right that nobody knows except the Rebbe Shlomo. It actually might be a higher madrega. That's why Hillel uses the negative. Sometimes it's harder not to hurt somebody than it is to shower him with your goodness. In fact, if anything, sometimes showering somebody with goodness, the Mesilas Yesharim says, in a very subtle way, can be a vehicle of nekama. That's what the Torah says, or Netira, when the Torah says, don't bear a grudge, what do Chazal say? That's when You know, somebody didn't do you a favor, and you do them the favor and say, I'm not like you. The Ramchal writes, sometimes, even if I don't say the words, I'm not like you, I'm thinking the words, I'm not like you, and you know that I'm thinking those words, and I know that you're thinking those words. Right? So, Yisrael Salanter says, it's not so pashut that not hurting somebody is a lower madrega. So that's question number one. But question number two is, all right, whether Hillel uses a negative or the positive, he is certainly emphasizing caring about another person. But the question is, at most, that's only half the Torah. The guy said, teach me the whole Torah on one foot. Now the Torah has mitzvos bein adam lamakom and mitzvos bein adam lechavero. At most, Hillel's answer is bein adam lechavero. He doesn't give you a teretz for bein adam lamakom. How does Hillel's rule address tefillin and shatnis and Shabbos and kashrus? So the emes is Rashi, just in the Gemara itself, Rashi gives a beautiful answer. Rashi says, when Hillel says, don't do to your friend that which hurts you, your friend is Kailel, not only a fellow human being or a fellow Jew, it includes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Such a beautiful thought. Rashi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also your friend. Amazing. Avinu, Malkeinu, right? Boreinu, Hashem is our father, Hashem is our king, we are slaves, we're children, we're also friends. We have Yedidus. Rashi quotes a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, Re'echa v're'a avicha al tazayv. Do not forsake your friend and the friend of your father, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rashi says, indeed, chavercha, not hurting your friends, includes the bein adam lamakom as well. Yes, Rashi, it's not like a sefer drush. Rashi says, up in art, Re'echa v're'a avicha. But there's another pshat. They say v'shem v'chassam sofer, and this will tie into our Sfiras HaOmer discussion. And that is, this guy is a much more educated, smart fellow than we might think. When he says, teach me the whole Torah beregel achas, although we translated regel to mean a foot or a leg, the Chassam Sofer wants to say that maybe regel means one time, just like we say shalosh regalim, three times a year. So the guy is asking the following question. We know that the Torah has 613 mitzvahs. And of those 613 mitzvahs, 248 are the positive mitzvahs, thou shalt do. And 365 are the negative mitzvahs, thou shalt not do. And we know that Chazal correlates the bones of the body, the 248 bones, to the positive mitzvahs, and the sinews and the ligaments to the 365 negative. Although Chazal don't give us a detailed one-to-one correspondence, there are actually later svarim. I mean, they say they don't have a mucker for it, but they at least try to connect which mitzvahs are connected to which bones and the like. So here is the guy's question. It turns out that if a Jew doesn't do a certain mitzvah, then there's something lacking. There's not a spiritual life for that bone or that ligament or whatever it would be. But l'chaira, the problem is, there has never been a Jew in the history of the world, and there never will be, who could keep all 613 mitzvahs. Some are for men and some are for women, some are for kohanim. Many apply only when there's a beis hamikdash. So no matter how big a tzaddik a person is, he's a spiritual cripple. Is it yitachen that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up a world, set up a spiritual system where we need 613 for our shleimus and we're not able to do it no matter what? This is the guy's question. How can one person keep the whole Torah in one life? Regalachas. On this question, there are actually two answers. And Hillel is giving two answers, not one. Answer number one. How do I get the shleimus and the light of a mitzvah if I can't do the mitzvah? Answer number one is Talmud Torah. That even the mitzvahs that I cannot do, when I learn them and I learn their halachas, The spiritual light of the mitzvah permeates my neshama and gives me chiyus. This is what the Chafetz Chaim wrote when the Chafetz Chaim wrote Sfarim on Kachim, Karbanos. So people asked the Chafetz Chaim, why are you writing about things that are not Nogea Lamaisa? Shouldn't you care about Nogea Lamaisa? Of course, Chafetz Chaim can hardly be accused of not caring about Nogea Lamaisa. I mean, he wrote the Mishnah Berurah and all the Sfarim on Lashon Hara, so he also did this. But some people always have a title. So why are you writing on things that aren't Nogea Lamaisa? And the Chafetz Chaim had two answers. One is, if you're miming in Mashiach, it is Nogea Lamaisa. Right? So what do you mean, not Nogea Lamaisa? But the second answer he gave is also important. He says, Bidafka at a time when we cannot do a mitzvah, it is important to learn the halachas of the mitzvah, because that is how the light of that mitzvah permeates our neshama. Otherwise, we're spiritually handicapped because we don't have the light of that mitzvah. That is teretz number one. Teretz number two is Avas Yisrael. What's the mile of Avas Yisrael? Because it's true that I, as an individual, cannot do 613 mitzvahs. You cannot do it. He cannot do it. Nobody can do it. But when I am machaber myself to Am Yisrael, which is a transcendental entity with a past, future, and present, I then become like a cell as part of a huge organism. Then the same way when I put tefillin on my left hand, my left arm, we don't say, my left arm put on tefillin today. We say, I put on tefillin because my left arm is connected to me. When I connect myself to Am Yisrael, which exists past, present, future, the mitzvos of the men become the mitzvos of the women, the mitzvos of the women become the mitzvos of the men, the Kohen and the Levi, those in Eretz Yisrael, those outside of Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvos bizman hamikdash become mitzvos that are my mitzvos too, because I am mechaber myself to Am Yisrael. So these are the two pathways of Shleimus in our Torah. Talmud Torah and Avas Yisrael. Zak b'chassam sefer. Both of these answers, in reverse order, I should say, are alluded to in Hillel's answer. The question is, how can one person be mashlim his neshama with the light of the 613 mitzvahs? Answer one, Avas Yisrael. Connect yourself to Am Yisrael. That's the madasani lach. What is hateful to you, don't do to others, meaning, I already mentioned why it's the negative, but it is expressing the idea of Avas Yisrael, connecting yourself to Am Yisrael. Now, v'idach, this is his chiddush. Idach does not mean the rest. Idach means, as the Gemara often uses it, and the other answer is, zeal gemor, go and learn. In other words, he's giving two terutzim. V'idach, my other answer, zeal gemor. So what do we see? So on one hand, the Aveda of Sfira is to be machai of us, to learn more, to steig more, to work more. And the Aveda of Sfira is machai of us to be eisek in Avas Yisrael and covered abrius. I had mentioned before that on some level this is contradictory, but you see, Taka, that these are the two derachim in which the light of Torah can permeate our neshamos in its entirety, because otherwise it's not shayach to be a sholem in Darchei HaTorah on the most simplest level, because I'm not going to have tayag mitzvahs that'll be makashrimi to our HaKadosh Baruch. And once again, as I say, in the polarized world that we live in, these midas, these avaydas, seem to sometimes exist in contradiction. Our job is to be miyashiv nistira, to take both midas, try to integrate them within the framework of our personality, and above all, to remain faithful, to remain neman to what Chazal stated and what Rabbi Yashiv Zatzal told us is the central aveda of our zman, of our door, to make the Shem Shemayim Messiah of Al Yadecha. In that way, we should be zeicha to a Kabbalah Satira for all of Klal Yisrael, and be Yisrael Hashem to the Geulah Shleimah B'mheira. Amen.